Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
In the year 1972, the luxury liner Philomen left San Francisco with a shipload of passengers bound for Japan. And despite the fact that most of them were extremely wealthy and well-traveled, there was an air of gaiety and festivity as the ship left the docks, and an enthusiastic atmosphere. For the voyage promised to be a feast of luxury and relaxation, and of course, there was Japan waiting at the end of it, with all its many and varied attractions. Ben and Gloria Watermere were two of the passengers, a couple in their early 40s. They had been married for 6 years. I called my story The Photograph.
You know, Ben, I had doubts about sailing to Japan, remembering all the boring voyages I suffered in my time. But I think you were right. Oh, there's an atmosphere on board this ship.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility that the trip could be fun.
Yeah, I think so, too. Even if it isn't, we can still relax, just laze on deck.
That's right.
Which is a much better bet than hanging around at airports, waiting for planes that are never on time. And when you do eventually arrive at where you want to get to, it takes days to recover from the jet lag. Mm-hmm. Now, this way we'll arrive in Japan, rested, fit, ready to take in the sights.
I hope you aren't going to be disappointed when we get there.
No.
I haven't been to Japan for 12 years. That's a long time. Things change so quickly.
I won't be disappointed. Though maybe you will, if it isn't the way you remember it.
Mm. One of the reasons I've never been back. It was so fantastic that first time. I've always been afraid to spoil the memory of it.
Darling, I didn't push for Japan. I'd have been just as happy to take in Europe again.
Oh, no, I know, but I wanted you to see Japan. Oh, I'm just being stupid about it. Of course it'll be different. For one thing, you'll be there with me this time. That'll make up for any changes.
You say the sweetest things.
I know. It's a cue for you to say something sweet to me.
Well, let me see now. Don't go away. I'll think of something.
Well, don't rush it. Just let me know when the inspiration dawns. Phew. It's hot up here. I think I'm going to go down and take a shower.
Oh, hold it. I got it. This is just another stage in the honeymoon. My life has been one long honeymoon since I married you.
Great. Just great. And the best thing about it, it was so spontaneous.
Come on. Let's get out of the stateroom.
I'll leave you to do the unpacking. I'm going to cool off under the shower.
Okay, you want me to order anything for you? Drink, tea, coffee?
No, I don't think so. Not right now. Let's decide after we're organized.
Okay. Oh, the start of this one. Find the right key. This one, I think. Come in.
Good morning, sir. I'm your cabin stewardess, Jeanette Carr.
You.
Save on my list, Mrs. Ben Watermeyer.
That's right. That's who I am, Ben Watermeyer. You know, just for a second there, I mistook you for someone else. Well, what do you say your name was?
Are you kidding? Mistook me for someone else? That's a laugh. So, you're calling yourself Ben Watermeyer nowadays. Well, I wonder why.
I don't like your attitude, miss. Whatever you said your name was. I'll speak to the purser and have another stewardess assigned to this stateroom.
You really think you can bluff your way out of it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you want me to spell it out for you? Okay. Your name is Gerald Carr, remember? So what's with this Mr. and Mrs. Watermeyer?
Jeanette.
It was a long time ago.
Over 10 years since you cut out without a word. Left me high and dry. But nobody ever came along and slapped divorce papers in front of me. And I never divorced you.
But I did divorce you. I went to Reno about 7 years ago. It was
then. Don't waste your breath. You're lying. I could see the wheels start going round in your head when I mentioned the word divorce. But you didn't divorce me. You just stopped being Gerald Carr and became Ben Watermayer. Isn't that right, Gerald?
Look, I'm all mixed up. I can't think. I never expected to see you again. To find you on board the Philomath.
As a stewardess, working my way. Why do you sit back here in one of the best state rooms? Now, the way I see it, a wife's place is with her husband. I came through lean times with you, Gerald. Now it seems you've hit the jackpot, and I want my share. Now, a minute ago, you said something about speaking to the purser, and I think that's a great idea. Go and tell him that you can't have your wife running around cleaning up after other people. She'd prefer the people cleaning up after her. So will he please see that she's given the best stateroom available?
Come on, please.
Please what? Hurt my fingers to the bone while my husband lives it up. You'll notice I haven't mentioned the other woman, the one who's on board calling herself your wife. I may get around to that. But at the moment, I'm more interested in my half of fortune you've made, inherited or stolen, whichever the case may be.
Jeanette, Gloria will be out here any moment.
Oh, I'm sure she'd like to meet your wife.
We are happy together. Really happy.
Wait a minute. Is it her money?
Yes, it is.
So, you found a rich lady to support you.
I said we were happy together, and I meant it. I don't want anything to foul it up.
Oh, so you're happy together, and she's rich. Oh, you've got it made, haven't you?
Jeanette, you'll talk this out later. I know we'll have to talk it out, come to some agreement. But if you don't go now, Gloria will walk in on us.
Oh, I feel better for that shower. Oh, you're a stewardess.
Yes, madam. I just looked in to see if there was anything I could do for you.
Oh, not at the moment, thank you.
Oh, please ring me if you need anything. And you, sir? I'm here to sort out any problems. Any problems.
Ben Watermayer, or Gerald Carr as his real name was, had been shocked rigid at the sight of the wife he'd abandoned more than 10 years previously. At that time, he had dabbled on the fringe of criminal activities, mainly through weakness of character. He was not a particularly vicious man, but like a great many more, he wanted a life of ease and comfort without having to work for it. When he changed his identity, he gave up all thoughts of becoming rich through crime, and it was almost inadvertently that he had committed bigamy, for he had put Jeanette completely out of his mind long before he met Gloria. As I've just said, he was a weak character and found it easier to ignore awkward facts than to face up to them. And when Gloria, a wealthy divorcee, came into his life, Jeanette was the last person he thought of. For Gloria not only possessed money, but she was a very attractive lady, and he spoke the truth when he said that they were happy together. And now he was faced with a fact that he couldn't ignore. The fact that Jeanette could ruin his comfortable, pleasant existence. He thought long and hard, and it came to him that he had the solution to the problem.
Come in.
You rang, sir?
No, Jeanette, shut the door.
Obviously, Mrs. Washernay must be otherwise engaged.
Yes, so she is. But she'll soon be back. So what I have to say, I'll say as fast as possible. There's no way you can make your story stick, Jeanette.
I don't have a story. I have the truth.
I'm not arguing with you. All I'm saying is that you can't prove a thing. When I left, it was because I was getting too deep into rackets that just weren't my scene.
I had that figured out a long time ago. I knew it wasn't just me you left. You were scared stiff of your, shall we say, colleagues.
Okay, I was scared. I didn't have the nerve. I don't mind admitting it. I wandered out, and I got out. But before I did, I spent every penny I had on getting myself a new identity.
one thing about the company I was keeping. I knew who to go to. The man I went to will never talk.
Maybe he won't, but there's nothing to stop me talking.
But it won't do you any good, Jeanette. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Gerald Carr disappeared a long time ago. And he's got nothing to do with me. I'm Ben Watermeyer. And I got all the documents to prove it. They'll stand up to the closest investigations. So whatever you may say, I'll deny it. And I'll go on denying it. And it's me they'll believe. They'll think you suddenly flipped your lid.
Oh, I can see your point, Gerald. They'd be much more likely to take the word of a paying passenger. Especially a wealthy paying passenger.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you're beginning to see sense, Jeanette. Now, I don't want to cause you any trouble any more than I want trouble myself. So the way I see it, we should forget the whole thing. And, Well, let's rock the boat.
Oh, and I go on working as a stewardess, and you go on being Mr. Watermeyer. Oh, fine for you, but not so fine for me. So I'm afraid I have to turn down your suggestion about forgetting the whole thing.
I've just been trying to explain to you that for me it would be an irritation, like a mosquito buzzing around, but that's all, Jeanette.
Uh-huh.
Because I can prove I'm Ben Watermeyer, and I'd Gloria to vouch for me. My wife. The first thing she'll ask you is why you didn't speak out the moment you laid eyes on me. And you didn't, Jeanette. Not when Gloria was here. You spoke to her just like an ordinary stewardess while I was standing here. You know, if you had said something then, it could have been difficult because I wasn't thinking straight. I was so shocked at seeing you. But you didn't say anything then, and now it's too late. I've got my story, and I'm sticking to it, and there's no way you can break it.
You know, Gerald, you really haven't aged at all. A little bit more to weight, but not a gray hair. Hardly a line on your face. If I took a picture of you now, it would be a dead ringer for the one that was taken on the day we were married.
What are you talking about?
You mean you don't remember? Our wedding picture. You and me. In front of the city hall, right after the wedding ceremony.
What?
You were wearing a light blue suit with a red tie, and I was dressed in lilac. It's a very clear photograph.
You kept that wedding photograph?
Oh, not deliberately. It got mixed up with other papers, and I just never got around to tearing it up. Lucky for me.
No, you're trying it on. You don't have that photograph. You remembered it, that's all.
And what's this? After I saw you, I went back to my cabin and I ruled it out. And I told you it was a very clear photograph. Don't you think so?
Tell me that.
You just get back. Get back or I'll scream the place down. And how will you explain that when people come running? Now sit down. That's better. Now, just you listen to me. You're not the only one who's been doing some thinking. You know what I think, Gerald? I think it would be a pity to spoil your happy life with Gloria. And I decided that I won't interfere, just as long as you provide me with the money to buy a few of the luxuries you're enjoying so much. And I don't expect large amounts that might cause Gloria to ask questions. All I want is regular payments of $500?
You're going to blackmail me.
That's not how I see it. The way I look at it, you'll be supporting your wife, which is what a husband is supposed to do. And as long as the payments just keep on coming, I'll be a very quiet wife. There it is, Gerald. And come to think of it, I'd like the first payment now. There are a few things up in the shop that I'd like to buy.
You can't do this to me.
Just watch me. You want to refuse my offer? Okay. You can take the consequences.
No, wait. I can't give you the money until I cash a traveler's check with a purser.
I don't mind waiting a couple of hours. And that's exactly the amount of time I'll give you. 2 hours from now, on the boat deck while the passengers are dressing for dinner. There shouldn't be anyone around. I wouldn't like us to be seen and have Gloria thinking you're flirting with the stewardess.
You safely in the stateroom, and when I came back, you disappeared. I was beginning to get worried you'd fallen overboard.
No, I got talking to one of the officers, and he gave me the grand tour around the ship.
Oh,
we even walked through the crew's quarters. He was very proud of the class of accommodation allocated to crew members.
Oh, well, I'm glad I wasn't with you. I don't think I'd be too interested in seeing where the crew members live. Hey, now, isn't it about time you started getting changed for dinner?
Oh.
I'm almost ready.
Well, I hate to admit this, Gloria, but I'm not feeling too good.
Oh, you're not getting seasick, are you? Here, I'll get you a
pill. No, I think what I want is some fresh air. I'll just take a turn up on the deck, and then I'll be down again. It won't take me more than a couple of minutes to change.
You've grown more punctual with the years, General.
You were right, Jeanette. There isn't a soul around. All downstairs.
This isn't my first voyage as stewardess. I know the passengers' habits.
I know the habits of blackmailers. They're never satisfied. Each payment makes them more greedy. You want $500 a day, Jeanette? Next time it'll be more, and you'll go on bleeding me to death. And Gloria will start wondering where my money's going, and in the end, I'll lose her. I'll lose everything. That's what happens always when you play ball with blackmailers. You end up with nothing. That's why I've decided that I'm not playing your game, Jeanette.
Welching on the deal, are you? Well, you know the alternative.
I know the alternative you gave me, but there's another way out of this. And that's the one I'm choosing.
General, don't you point that gun at me. Listen, I wouldn't really show that picture. You know I wouldn't.
You look even worse than you did before you went on deck, Ben. Look, you just lie down and I'll order dinner in here.
No. No, I couldn't face the smell of food. You go on to the dining saloon and make my apologies.
Oh. Well, all right, darling, if that's what you want. You just relax and maybe it'll pass off. I'll be back before you know it.
I hope not. Just give me time to get that photograph. And if I should be seen in the crew's quarters, my story is that I lost my gold lighter and I thought I might have dropped it when the officer was showing me around. Oh, where did she put it? I thought my luck was in when I got into her cabin without seeing anyone. Where's the photograph? Stay any longer, or Gloria will be back in the sixth.
Darling, I've been away for hours. I'm so sorry. Are you feeling any better?
Oh, a bit. I took a pill, but you have been away a long time.
Well, that's because of what happened. Oh, but are you feeling well enough to listen? Mm. Is it rather? I mean, do you want to go back to sleep?
What's happened? Tell me.
Well, our stewardess, Mrs. Carr. They found her body on the top deck. She'd been shot.
Shot?
Murdered. Isn't it dreadful? The whole ship's talking about it. That's what kept me, or at least partly. Because after all the excitement was over and I was just coming back here, there was more news. The strangest thing. And we're all wondering whether it's all tied up in some way with Mrs. Carr's death. Although no one can quite figure out how.
Well, tell me.
Well, another stewardess went back to her cabin and found the place torn apart. Drawers open, her clothes and things scattered all over, as if someone had been searching for something. The stewardess can't think what. It's Miss Johnston.
Miss Johnston is a stewardess whose cabin was turned upside down?
That's right. And Mrs. Carr was shot. And everyone's been trying to figure out if there could be a connection between the two things. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I wouldn't like to give an opinion. I've just been lying here seasick.
Oh.
And I'm still too groggy to think straight.
Oh, of course, darling. I shouldn't be bothering you. But you know, it is a bit creepy to think we've got a murderer on board.
Oh,
just have to keep my head, that's all. Now let me think. I said to that officer, so our stewardess, Mrs. Carr, must live around about here. And he said, yes. And the steward who was standing there interrupted and said, sure, that's Mrs. Carr's cabin. And he pointed there, but he could have meant the one on the left. And I searched the other one, Miss Johnston's. It must be this cabin. It must be.
Switch on the light, Frank, and let's see who our visitor is.
Captain, I'm terribly sorry. I don't know what I'm doing here. I was wandering around the ship, and I got lost.
Yet you seem to have a peculiar interest in the crew's quarters, Mr. Watermeyer. You specifically asked my officer here to show you around, which he did, and you also asked which was Mrs. Carr's cabin. Now, Mrs. Carr is dead, and the cabin next door has been searched. The way I saw it, that was an error on the murderer's part. It was this cabin he was really interested in. And it seemed to me there was a chance he might try to rectify his mistake. And that's why we've been sitting here in the dark waiting for you. What is it you're looking for, Mr. Watermeyer? What is it that's so important that you killed for it?
You don't understand. She was blackmailing me. I had to get the photograph.
What photograph?
A wedding photograph.
Oh, this one, you mean?
Yes, yes. Jeanette and me. Our wedding photograph. I haven't changed all that much. You can see it's me.
You didn't look at it closely, Mr. Watermeyer.
What?
It was in Mrs. Carr's pocket when you shot her. Where your face should be, there's just a hole. The bullet destroyed the evidence. If you had known that, you might have gotten away with it.
Aye, if Watermeyer hadn't broken down, he might still have got away with it.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botner.